While we may not know with certainty who wrote the book of Hebrews, we can be certain about a few things of the people who received this letter, because sprinkled throughout the epistle are warnings given about what the author calls falling away, chapter 3 and verse 12, shrinking back, chapter 10 and verse 39, or turning away, chapter 12 and verse 25. So these new Christians in the first century were suffering some kind of persecution or tribulation because of their new faith in Jesus as the Christ, Son of God. And they were being tempted because of this persecution to turn away from their faith in Jesus and to either return to the old law, the law of Moses, or abandon their faith altogether. And so several times they are warned, do not turn away. One of those times is in Hebrews chapter 6, and I want to invite you to open your Bible to that passage, Hebrews 6, where we'll read together the first 6 verses. Will you go there and read with me from the Word of God? Hebrews chapter 6, starting with verse 1. Therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of instruction about washings and laying on of hands, and the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And this we shall do, if God permits. For in the case of those who have once been enlightened, and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they again crucify to themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame. Is it possible for people to fall away, to hold to a belief in God and trust in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and then turn away? Many say it's not possible. And often the reason is, well, if they do fall away, they must not have believed in the first place. They didn't fall away because they were never truly disciples to begin with. But look at the very words and descriptions that are given to talk about these brothers. He said they are enlightened, that they have tasted of the heavenly gift. They have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God. Does that sound like somebody who was never a believer or who had never obeyed the gospel? The reason he says it's impossible to renew them to repentance is because what are you going to appeal to them with? They've already seen the power of God. They've already been partakers and tasted of God's goodness. What's going to draw them back if they've already been in the safety of the fold and then have turned away? And so the question is not, is it possible to fall away from the Lord? The question is, why do people fall away? Why would someone in such close fellowship with God, in recognition of what he's done for them, choose to abandon him and turn away? See, the difficulty is not in becoming a Christian. Now, there are obstacles that have to overcome. That you have to overcome. There are things that you have to put aside and lay aside to become a Christian. I don't mean that it's easy. But the difficulty is not in becoming a Christian. The difficulty is in being a Christian. It's the day-to-day sacrifices. It's the commitment to a new life. It's finishing what you started. We're all going to have persecution and tribulation that we experience because of our faith. Why do people fall away? Because it's easier to leave the Lord than to live for Him. And that's why these warnings are given not just to the first century Christians, but for all disciples of Jesus, lest we fall away. So I want to look at four of these warnings that are given in the book of Hebrews that address why do people fall away. The first one is found back in chapter 2 and in verse 1. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. For this reason, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For if the word spoken through angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was at the first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard, God also bearing witness with them, both by signs and wonders and by various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit according to His own will. Why do people fall away? Number one, because they first drift away. The word drift here means it's something that's not anchored or secured. The Greeks would have used this word to speak of something that's floating or washing away. We drift away. Now, this passage, he has already confirmed that Jesus is superior to the angels, which is why he said, if the word of angels is unalterable, shouldn't we pay closer attention to the words of Jesus Christ and listen to what he said, lest we drift away? Now, there are some people, according to what Jesus said in the parable of the sower, there are some people who immediately fall away. They hear the word and accept it, but Satan comes and takes it away, and immediately they fall away. But most people, this happens over time. We've heard our beloved Brother Bowman say for years that people don't just wake up one morning and decide, I'm going to leave the Lord. It's something that's gradual. They slowly drift away. That's why he says we better pay attention to the things that we've heard. We better give attention and pay close attention to these things, lest we drift away. You've got to have your own faith. You've got to become rooted and anchored in what you believe. Not just hold on to something because that's what your spouse believes or that's what your parents believe or that's what the preacher says when we go to church and listen to him. These are things that you have to become attached to so that they don't wash away. And you have decided on your own, with your own mind and your own intellect, that this is what I believe, and this is what I'm going to hold on to, and these are the things that will keep me anchored during the storms of life and times of persecution and tribulation. Why do people fall away? Because they first drift away. They stop paying attention to the Word of God. I hope during this time you are finding ways to stay connected and to stay anchored to the Word of God. This is the Word of the Lord, which does not change. It's always the same. We can have confidence that the words we read on the page are the ones that were spoken and confirmed. Stay connected, lest we drift away and then fall away. Why do people fall away? The second passage is in chapter 3 and in verse 12. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. Take care, brethren, lest there should be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart in falling away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. Here again is the warning to take care, or watch out, the ESV has, or see to it, the NIV translates. See to it, pay close attention, lest you develop an evil, unbelieving heart. Well, where would that come from? A heart that's evil and unbelieving. Because we don't follow the will of the Lord. We don't trust in Him and the promises He's made to us. In verse 15, the writer of Hebrews quotes from Psalm 95 and verse 7, which is really a reference back to Exodus chapter 17, when the Israelites, who had seen all the powers of God through the plagues of Egypt, crossing the Red Sea, and now they've become thirsty in the wilderness, and they test the Lord, saying, is God with us or not? Has He just brought us out here to die of thirst? And they developed this evil, unbelieving heart. Here, the warning is that this comes by being deceived by sin. Why do people fall away? Number two, because sin doesn't seem so evil. We become deceived by sin. Three times in the New Testament, there is a simple three-word phrase found in some pretty well-known passages. In fact, sometimes you hear these passages quoted without this warning given. And that warning is, be not deceived. That tells us that we can reach the point where the particular sin that's being addressed in this passage doesn't seem so evil to us. One of them, for instance, is 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. Evil companions corrupt good morals. You've heard that. Did you know the passage begins with, be not deceived? Evil companions corrupt good morals? We deceive ourselves into thinking, well, I can be in the Lord and in the world, and it won't have any effect on me. I can surround myself with people who have no interest in God or in the integrity of God's Word, and they won't pull me down to where they are. Paul said, be not deceived by that. These evil associations are going to corrupt your faith. Another one is 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. Where Paul lists the sins that are going to keep people out of the kingdom of God. Things like homosexuals, thieves, drunkards. But you know what he says first? Be not deceived. The devil can convince us that these things aren't that bad. God's really not going to hold me accountable for these things. Maybe in the first century they needed to be preached about, but this is 2020. Be not deceived. People fall away when evil doesn't seem so sinful anymore. Galatians 6 and verse 7. Whatever a man sows, this shall he also reap. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. We can deceive ourselves into thinking, God doesn't care. He's not going to judge me about that. I know it's written in His Word. Be not deceived. When we start thinking there's no sin involved in sinning, we're going to fall away from the living God. Be not deceived by the deceitfulness of sin. Remember, the devil is the father of all liars. He told the first one in the beginning. The third warning is given in Hebrews chapter 5. And I want to start reading at verse 11. Hebrews chapter 5, starting with verse 11. Concerning him, that is Melchizedek, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, let us press on to maturity. These new Christians weren't necessarily babes in Christ anymore. They had reached the level of time where they ought to now be the teachers. Someone had taught them the basics and fundamentals of their faith. And by this time, he said, you ought to have reached the maturity that you're able to pass these on to other people. He had to stop his discussion about Jesus being after the order of Melchizedek because he said, you're not ready to comprehend that yet. You've not reached the level where you can understand that. You've become dull of hearing. Why do people fall away? Number three, because they stop growing. People fall away when they stop growing. I learned from Misty White this past week about stable disease. That's where the tumor is neither shrinking nor growing. It's just staying the same. And while that may be encouraging news in the medical world, there is no such thing with regard to our spiritual health. We don't stay in one place. We don't remain stagnant. If we are not growing, then we are shrinking. If we're not advancing in our faith, we're shrinking back. And so people fall away when they stop growing. Why is it so often that young people grow up in a home where their parents love the Lord and have taught them and have brought them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And then these young people leave home, they go away to college, and then they leave the Lord. Well, why does that happen? Because they stop growing. Oh, they may be advancing in education. They might be learning things about their future profession or learning things for their classes at school, but their spiritual instruction has suffered. If we stop growing and stop maturing in our faith, the result is we're going to shrink back and fall away. And think of how many opportunities will be lost when we, who ought to be teachers by this point, ought to be sharing what we know and spreading the gospel to other people, and we're still having to drink the milk of the word. We're not able to digest meaty things because we stopped growing. That's why people fall away. And so let's press on to maturity. Remember, it's easier to leave the Lord than it is to live for Him. Even in persecution and tribulation, we've got to advance and grow. And then the fourth passage is in Hebrews chapter 10. And I want to start reading at verse 32. Hope you're following along. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 32. But remember the former days, when after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of sufferings, partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. And he quotes from Habakkuk 2. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the persevering of the soul. Why do people fall away? Even those who may have served the Lord for years and years. Why do they fall away? Because they lose sight of the goal. Finish line just seems too far away. Again, we see that these recipients of this epistle were suffering greatly because of their faith. He mentions a public spectacle that they were suffering from reproach and tribulation, but it also had an economic effect. Their property was being seized, perhaps by the Jewish leaders or those Judaizing teachers who showed them there were consequences if they abandoned the law of Moses. And so you can see why they would be tempted to turn away. But the writer says you have to have endurance. You have to have perseverance. Because what you have lost in this world does not compare to what you have gained in the next world. They may take away your home that you were living in, but you still have an abiding one in heaven. Do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. People fall away when they think too much of this world and not of the next one. They lose sight of the goal. What did Paul say happened to Demas? Demas, who had been his traveling companion, who had been his brother in the Lord, a fellow disciple. Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. People fall away when they stop looking at the finish line. Doesn't that then make sense why he would now go into Hebrews 11 and all of those great men and women of the Old Testament who by faith continued to serve, by faith carried out what God had given them to do themselves, even through suffering and tribulation? Doesn't that then make sense that it culminates there in chapter 12, where we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses? And so let us run with endurance, run with perseverance, the race that is set before us. Let's not shrink back. Let's not be timid. Let's not avoid difficulties. Let's persevere and run with endurance this race, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God on high. Let's have that same endurance to finish what we started and not fall away or turn away from the Lord. You want to see Jesus one day, don't you? You want to see him with your own eyes. You want to hear him with your own ears say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." If that's so, then let's pay attention to the words he's given us. Let's give the more earnest heed to what he has said. And instead of seeing all the things that are causing tribulation and suffering and persecution in our world to distract us and divide us, let's with great patience continue to mature and to grow and to not be deceived by sin and not to give up until we're standing before the Lord and receiving the crown of life that he has promised to all who love him and his appearing. Let's not be like those who shrink back. Let's press on and finish what the Lord has begun in us. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for revealing your word to us, that we can know the way back to you. Help us to remain true to what you have revealed and to what we believe. And help us to be fearful of falling into your hands unprepared. We thank you for Jesus and his example. Help us as we run our race in his steps and through his name. Amen.